Deus, 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 Deus.
Oh,
Ruegos y palabras. In the name of Jesus. Now lift up your hands. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say it again. Say, the word of God is God speaking to me. Say, I am who Christ is. Say, I have what Christ has. I can do what Christ can do. I am seated where Christ is seated. In heavenly place. Now. Say, I'm a doer of the word. And not a hearer only. Say it again. Say, I'm a doer of the word. And not a hearer only. Shout hallelujah. Are you here tonight? Because I see some of you are not here. Some people are looking at some people and some are sitting down and some are standing there. Hallelujah. You move to the next person on your left and your right and say, tell the person you're welcome to go to this conference. You're welcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tell somebody to get ready for the word. Yes. Hallelujah. If you are sick in any part of your body, get ready to be healed also. The scripture says that one day Jesus was sharing the word of God. He wasn't praying. He was sharing the word of God. He wasn't praying. He was sharing the word of God. And the power of God was present to heal. There are some who go to meetings who think that, oh, when it is time for the man of God to pray for us, then that is when power is. No. Power is not when the man of God is praying. Power is when the word of God is teaching. For he sent his word and he healed them of all their sicknesses. I'm not hearing an amen.
Amen.
So I want you to understand that Jesus was sharing the word of God one day. And the power of God was present whilst he was sharing the word of God to heal all manner of sicknesses. Because he was sharing the word of God. The power of God moves in accordance with the word of God. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it is very important. Today, I'll be talking to you about ministering to the sick or ministering healing.
Hallelujah.
Shall we please take our Bibles and open to Isaiah chapter 53. Oh, Shadalabaka Sikalaba Satala Hoshundelime. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 5. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 5. Oli akala mando shita la bahasa. Logo shada la manku sitele mende shaya. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 5. Have you all opened Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4 to 5? Have you all opened? Shall we all read together? One, two, go.
Surely we have gone hungry and
carried
our sorrows.
Uh-huh.
Yet we did not esteem you stricken.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
But he was wounded for our transgressions.
Uh-huh.
He was crushed for our iniquities.
Uh-huh.
The chastisement of our peace was upon him.
Uh-huh.
And by his stripes we are healed.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 5 too is very important. We're talking about verse 4 for some time now. Verse 5 is very important. I want you to understand that the word of God is very important. In the word of God is whatever you would ever need in this life. And the word has a fruit-bearing ability. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
As I share the word of God with you, I want you to listen and listen carefully. How many of you have been studying so far since we started with the healing, health and healing series? How many of you have been studying so far? Reading Isaiah and all the verses. How many of you so far? Hey, then the word of God is not in your spirit. And that is what is very important. That is why the last time I was teaching about these things, I was talking about these things. Don't come and sit down to warm a chair. You'll be wasting your time. It's very important. Watching this conference, one major vision of watching this conference is not to raise hearers of the word, but people who know what they can do with the word of God. Hallelujah. So sitting down on what you hear is very important. And studying them for yourself is very important. Because the word is for our benefit. Look at someone, tell the person, the word of God is for my benefit.
The word of God is for my benefit.
Tell another person that
the word of God is for my benefit.
Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I want you to understand this. From continuing from last week's message. Last week I talked about where sickness comes from now. And I talked about a lot of things last week. How many of you were here? You were blessed. Yeah, I talked about a lot of things last week. I want you to understand there are two important lounges. Shall we please be seated? There are two important things that enhances the work of sicknesses in our bodies. To write it down, there are two important things that enhances the work of sickness or infirmity or diseases in our body. Two important things that enhances the work of the spirit of infirmity or sicknesses or diseases in our bodies. There are two important things. Oh, Shidala Kasoto Lobokosha. Are you ready? There are two important things. The first one is fear. The first one is fear. The second one is our words. Fear and our words. Fear is an instrument of the devil to put a person in bondage. Fear is an instrument of the devil. Fear is not of God. Fear is of the devil. It says, for we have, Romans chapter 8, verse 15. It says, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Who has Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Shall we open there? I hope I just open to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 quickly and read it. I don't want to spend time on this one. Fear and our words.
Romans chapter 8, verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear.
For you have not received the spirit of bondage, or you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear puts us in bondage. Fear is a spirit. Fear is a spirit. As faith is a spirit. The Bible talks about the spirit of faith. Then there's the spirit of fear. For we have not received the spirit of fear or the spirit of bondage again to fear. So you only fear when you are in this, you have the spirit of bondage. And Paul was saying that we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear is a spirit of bondage. And he said, we have received the spirit which is of God. But we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear is a satanic bondage or the spirit of bondage. When fear comes into your life, you become bondaged. Fear holds a person in captivity. And that is why God doesn't want us to walk in fear. He wants us to walk by faith. So it's either you walk by faith or you walk by fear. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Are you here?
Yeah.
And what is very important is that fear comes by information. The more the information, you know, you are informed about the particular sickness in town, the more fearful you become. You cannot receive healing or minister healing in fear. It's very important. Why? Because the scriptures tell us that for as much as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, Jesus likewise himself took part of flesh and blood, so that through death he might render powerless the power of what? Of the devil, and to deliver them who through fear of death. So sickness gives you fear. Fear of death. Fear of the fact that this sickness cannot be cured. Or fear of the fact that the sickness is a deadly sickness. And so fear puts you in bondage through the information that you receive. So somebody goes to the hospital and receives a medical report after a checkup. And the doctor says, this is what you've got. You know, this is the sickness that we realize that you have. We discover that you have this sickness. Then the person begins to fear. The person locks himself or herself in a room and begins to cry and say all manner of things. By that act, the person has positioned himself as somebody who is subject to the sickness. Are you following me? I've said it over and over that the word of God, Christianity, works on principles, not just magic. So it's important that we understand these things. Once an information comes on TV that there is a sickness in town, for instance, when Ebola started, and they said, oh, Ebola is in town, and people were afraid, they were in fear. Christians and non-Christians were all in fear, and people were even afraid to shake their friends because of Ebola. By those acts, if such a person, or by that act, you make yourself subject to that sickness. You present yourself as somebody who is subject to sickness. You don't present yourself as a Christian who has authority over sickness. But you present yourself or project yourself as somebody who is a victim of sicknesses because of what you heard on the news. Are you following me? And by what you've heard, you begin to become afraid. By becoming afraid and by your acts, because of that fear, you make yourself subject to the sickness that they are talking about. So if Ebola were to come to Ghana, all those who were afraid would have caught it in one way or the other, unless you ran away. Why? Because by reason of fear, it says, who through fear of death? When the lady was sharing a testimony here last 2 weeks, she said that she was having an attack. She was having attacks. And what happened? She was afraid. One night, she thought she was going to die. And they started praying. She could have died with that attack. Why? Because she was afraid. So the devil was trying to put fear on her. But if she had been behaving in faith or walking by faith, what she would have done was that she would have said, no, devil, enough is enough. Why? She would have said that because she knows from the word of God that the authority of Jesus is with the church and with her. And so the devil did not have any permission to attack her. But because she didn't know, she was being attacked and she was afraid. And she said that one night she thought she was going to die. So it says those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. But the word of God comes to liberate us. It says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. So freedom from fear comes through the word of God. The information or whatever you've heard that is making you afraid, as you hear more of the word of God, fear vanishes, faith comes. And you would realize that your faith becomes activated the more of the word of God you hear. And fear becomes activated the more of other things apart from the word of God that you hear. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So fear Those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. They were subject to bondage because of fear. The devil, through fear, had kept them in bondage. So Jesus came to deliver, to set free all those people. So in Christ Jesus, we are free from fear. Oh, I didn't hear an amen. Amen. So you say, no, I refuse to fear. Why? This sickness cannot take my life. No. And those are the words, fear and your words, your confessions. Some people get a report and they begin to say, oh, I know I'm already dead. This sickness will kill me. Oh God, help me. Oh God. No. That is not the attitude of faith. Are you following me? Your words. You are ensnared by your words. The more you speak negative words, the more you say you are going to die because you had a report or you had a symptom of a sickness in your body. When you started saying that, you started programming yourself for death. And you started presenting yourself. You see, the words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life. Oh, Lord Jesus. Go to the book of Peter quickly. Let me look for this scripture. Shade lekoski pala hashe karabakosaya. 1 Peter. Go to the book of 1 Peter. Ludoski bahasha karabasi kelebeko. Chapter 3, verse 10. And someone should also open Psalm 34, verse 11 to 14 quickly. Psalm 34, verse 11 to 14. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. Who has opened 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10? And Psalm 34, verse 11 to 14. But you can read each, anyone you've opened. Who has opened the psalm? Okay. Over already, then lady will read the psalm. Quickly.
1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10.
Uh-huh.
For he who would love life and see good days.
For he who would love life and see good days. Uh-huh.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil.
Let him refrain his tongue from evil. Uh-huh.
And his lips from speaking deceit.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Do you have your Bibles with you? Yes. Will you all read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse what? Verse 10. Quickly. Mm-hmm. For he who do what? Love life. Let him do what? Let him do what? Refrain his tongue from evil. Uh-huh. And his lips from what? Speaking deceit or speaking guile. Speaking poison. Proverbs talk about wholesome words. Wholesome words are words that are in line with the word of God. Words which are not in line with the word of God are poisoned. So it says, he who will do what? Psalm 34. Who has opened? Let me open Psalm 34. Read it out loud quickly. The same thing. Psalm 34, 1 Peter. Uh-huh. 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 Who is the man who desires life? Uh-huh. And loves many days. Uh-huh.
That he may see good.
That he may see good. So you live, you have life. You live in many days and you see goodness in the many days. There are people who are living many days without goodness. So, long life with what? Goodness. Goodness and long life. Not just long life. It says, who wants to see long life? Who wants to have life? Who wants to see good days? Let him do what? This is an instruction. Let him refrain his tongue from doing what? From doing what? From doing what? Oh, wow, you people are asleep here. From doing what? From speaking guile and what? And deceit. Whatever is not in line with the word of God is deceit. The word of God is the only true word. He says, let God be true. Let his word be true. He says, let every man be a liar. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So let him refrain his tongue. The more you say you will die, the more you will die. The more you say this sickness is what this sickness is normal, it's part of the family, and this is the sickness that will take me away, then the same sickness will take you away. Many people have this. See, oh Lord Jesus. Many people have died because of this principle. Many people. Because their whole words, their words are programmed with death, with deceit, with guile. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So God says that refrain your tongue from speaking evil, from speaking guile. The more you speak evil, the more the spirit of infirmity is put to work by your words. The more you speak in accordance with the word of God, the more angels are put to work by your words. See, because we are not just physical beings. We are spirit beings residing in a body. And the spiritual answers to us. So the words that we give out determines which part of the spiritual answers to us. But you walk every day, you say, no, my body is whole. I am the healed in Christ. I am the health of Christ. You know this because the word of God says so. Not because your mother said so, no. Not because the preacher you came to meet here was saying that, no. I didn't write the scriptures, but I saw it there. One great woman of faith. She said that God has spoken. I believe it, and that settles it. A great woman of faith. She left at the age of 93. Still preaching the gospel. What the word of God says is for your benefit. It says you want to live long, refrain your tongue from evil. You say, no, I'm too... You see me? Do you know the schools I've gone to? Too big to do what God says do. Very simple instruction. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, what enhances the work of the spirit of infirmity are our words. Speak words of health, of life. Words which are in accordance with the word of God. Speak them into your generation. I say, do what? Speak them into your generation. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, listen very carefully. He says, for he was, Isaiah chapter 53, verse 4. He says, for he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The punishment for our peace was what was upon him. Then he said that, by whose stripes ye what? You are healed. According to Isaiah. When Peter was reporting, he says, ye were healed. But Isaiah said that you are healed. And it's important, number one, that if you want to be a Christian walking in health or healing the sick or healing your own, ministering healing to somebody or ministering healing to your own body, number one, this truth must stay with you. It is not just I came to watch this, I heard something, I've gone home. No. Oh, Lord Jesus. It says, he was wounded for our transgression. And by whose stripes ye are healed. Do you know what that means? I've explained it from last 2 weeks and I'm still explaining it today again. One great scholar said that repetition is the mother of learning. How many of you have heard that before? Not heard that. Repetition is the more you, that's why you say A, so that you can know A. Say so two times two, four. 2 times 2, 4. You say it over and over when you're in class 1 and class 2, so that you can do what? It can stay with you. So repetition is the mother of learning. The more you hear the word of God over and over, the more you learn, the more you catch it, the more you grasp it. So we just preach one message and we leave it for the whole year, you forget. He says, for he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity. By whose stripes ye are healed. That tells us that, oh, shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, come. I want you to catch this thing, this picture. I wish I could just draw a diagram to you. It's very important. Okay, stand here. Matthew, come. It's very, very important about healing, about salvation and healing. The first thing you must understand is that if you want to do all of these things, minister healing or be healed or walk in health, you must understand that the first thing, that Jesus Christ took your place in sin and sicknesses. Write that one down. Jesus Christ bore, took your place, or carried your sin and sicknesses. If I was teaching based on Revelation, I would say the old man. But that's not what I'm saying. I just want you to catch this thing simply. I don't want to give you any big, big revy. I just want to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And two of you stand there. Matthew is taller than okay, so Matthew, come here. See, hold affair like this. This is the spirit of Jesus. This is the body of Jesus. Your spirit is in your body. How many of you know that? I've explained that one here over and over again. So the scripture says, for the spirit without the body is what? Is dead. So faith without works is dead. This is Jesus when he was on the cross. His spirit was made sin. Listen. His body was made sickness. On the cross. At the same time. At the same hour. Because sin brought sickness into the world. According to the scriptures. Listen very carefully. So he says that for he was wounded for our transgression. Jesus became sin on the cross. So when Jesus was on the cross, he was bearing the sin of the whole world. Are you following? He was bearing the sin of the whole world in his spirit. He was made an offering of sin for the whole world. So this is the spirit of Jesus. This is the body of Jesus. When Jesus' spirit, the Bible says, for he who knew no sin was made sin, that we might be made what? The righteousness of God in Christ. So Jesus knew no sin, but Jesus was made sin for humanity. In other words, he became sin for somebody, so that those people will not be sinners. So Jesus carried sin when he was on the cross. At the same time, he carried sicknesses. How do we know? He says, by whose stripes ye are healed. So Jesus could have carried sin and just died. Or he could have become sin on the cross and died. When he said, my father, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because Jesus had become sin. And God couldn't look at sin. Or the sinner Jesus. And he became the sin, not for himself. Look at some other person. Jesus became sin, not for himself. But then he says, by whose stripes ye were healed. So listen, when Jesus was on the cross, his spirit had been made sin by reason of the fact that he was beaten. See, the reason why Jesus was beaten, Jesus could have just been carried, taken to the cross, would have been made sin because he was bearing the sin of the whole world and would have just died. But to God and to Jesus, it wasn't enough for Jesus just to be made sin. It was also enough for Jesus to be made sickness. So it was necessary for Jesus to be beaten. It was necessary for Jesus to be scourged. It was necessary for Jesus to be smitten. That is why they slapped him. They lashed Jesus. He went through beatings and all that. So that by that beating, by that stripes, he would be carrying sickness. So in the mind of God, in the understanding of God, listen very carefully. The understanding of God is our understanding. So we understand things the way God understands things. That is the Christian. So in the mind of God, when Jesus was being beaten, his stripes were providing healing. The stripes of Jesus the beating of Jesus was supposed to provide healing. The same way his position as a sinner on the cross, his sin-bearing position, was to provide righteousness. How many of you understand that? So he says, by whose stripes ye are healed. He was made sin, his spirit. He was beaten, bruised, smitten. He was lashed for the provision of healing. So Jesus suffered in his spirit and suffered in his body. So that we don't suffer in our spirit and suffer in our body, because Jesus did that for our sake. Did you hear that? Because Jesus did that for whose sake? Our sake. So it's important that you establish yourself in this kind of understanding. That Jesus did not just bear the sin of the world, he also bore the sicknesses of the world by his stripes. I thought you write that one down. And by that same stripes, he has made a provision for healing. Jesus did not just become sin, or Jesus did not just bear the sin of the world, he also bore the sickness of the world in the same sacrifice. The same time, the same hour. How many of you understand that? In the same sacrifice. In the same what? Sacrifice. For our sake. For whose sake? So write that one down. For my sake. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is the truth that works. This is the message that works. So it's very important. Have that understanding, have that picture. That when Jesus was on the cross, he had been made sin. He was carrying the sin of the whole world. And he was also carrying the sicknesses of the whole world. That is why I say, don't just stay listening. Sit down on this truth. That is when you can make it work in your life. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You understand it? Now, two of you stand here. I'm coming. Now, listen very carefully. Stand that side. Listen very carefully. Jesus did what he did for our sake. Jesus carried sin and sickness so that we don't carry sin and sickness. How important this statement is. Jesus carried sin and sicknesses on the cross for my sake, so that I wouldn't carry sin and sickness both in my spirit and in my body. He did that for my sake. He did that for my sake at the same time. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now listen very carefully. If somebody is burdened, okay, come and stand here again. Burdened. Take the bag for me. Let's over here. Or you can just take. Just and let him bring the bag. Bring the black one. That one is heavy. Offer is burdened. Carry this one. Listen very carefully. And look here. Offer is carrying this bag. He is burdened. Then Matthew comes and take the bag. Take the bag from him. Go and stand there. What has Matthew done? He has taken the burden that was on offer. For offer's sake. Why did he do that? So that offer wouldn't do what? Carry that burden again. So legally, offer is not supposed to carry the bag again because Matthew has taken that burden from him. And for his sake. So now, offer standing here is free. When you meet offer, you don't meet him carrying a bag. You meet him as a free man. That is the Christian. So Jesus bore the burden so that offer wouldn't bear the burden. Jesus carried the burden so that offer wouldn't do what? Carry that same burden. So if anyone comes around to put the burden on Ofer, Ofer will say, no. What I was carrying, someone else has carried it for my sake. Oh, Lord Jesus. Shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Or imagine Ofer is to be sentenced or taken to prison and they say that he's going to spend 2 years in prison. And then Matthew comes and Matthew says, no, Ofer. I want to go to the prison for you. Will Offer still have to go to the prison? Why? Because Matthew has taken Offer's place. Matthew has done what? Taken Offer's place, gone to the prison for the 2 years. That is why Satan has no legal right. Legally. So if he's doing anything, he's doing it illegally. In the mind of God, Satan has no right to put sickness on your body. In the mind of God, sickness has no right to stay in your body. In the mind of God, the devil has no right to torment you. Because Matthew went to the prison on behalf of Offer. Offer works as a free man. How many of you understand that? Shout hallelujah. So he says, surely he has done what? He has borne our griefs. Then he says that, for he took our transgression, and by his stripes we are healed. So you walk in dominion over sin and the devil and then sicknesses. You walk. You are coming here thinking that you are a victim of sickness. You go home thinking that you are a victor over sickness. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What a word. You can sit down. You can just pass the point. You can sit down. Shout hallelujah. So, Jesus did not come into the world for his own sake. He came into the world for our sake. And he has done what he has done already for me. So that I can walk in this world with my chest up. As a champion and a victor in Christ. As someone who has dominion. Say dominion.
Dominion.
So that I'm not waiting for a sickness to kill me. I'm exercising dominion over that sickness. A great man of God, Bob Mumford, wrote a book. Face up with a miracle. Oh, Lagada Hashikele Beko Satala Hasoko Shakira. Face up with a miracle. A woman was sick in a wheelchair. Someone bought the book and gave it to her. Listen very carefully. Some of you don't know the power of the word that you receive. Some of us have experienced the word of God and we are talking. The first time I understood this scripture, I knew that no sickness can come around my body. Else I'll make Jesus a liar. Jesus said so. I believe it. I receive it. And it settles the matter. When the devil knows that you know this thing, he doesn't play around with you. The woman got hold of the book, faced up with a miracle. She was reading the book. At the same time, she was washing. She was reading the book. After she read and got to this part, when she understood that Jesus bore her infirmities 2,000 years ago, the same way she had been saved because Jesus bore her sins. That is the same way. Oh, hallelujah. She can be healed because Jesus took her place in sicknesses. She understood it. Oh, hallelujah. As she kept on reading, she stood up from the wheelchair. She didn't know. She didn't know because it was like, another man of God said something. He said that when the word of God comes to you and you do things unconsciously. See, when you pray in the Holy Ghost, for instance, when you pray in the Holy Ghost for some time, for a long time, you keep praying the Holy Ghost, you realize that sometimes you speak in tongues without knowing. Unconsciously, it comes out. Unconsciously, she stood up. Went to dry her clothes. Turned. And realized that the wheelchair was behind. The book. Another woman was struck down with tuberculosis. And in those days, tuberculosis was a killer disease. TB. She was a good Christian. But she was waiting for TB to kill her. Lying on the bed. She started opening the scriptures, reading about her sins. Oh, she'll go to heaven, looking at where she was wrong and all of that. As she was reading the Bible, she came across this scripture. By whose stripes? You were healed. She said, called her mother. Mother, but Jesus took my sin and Jesus healed me. She said she had never read such a thing in the scriptures before. Just like Oral Roberts dying of sickness. And got hold of 1 John chapter 3 John what? I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. 3 John 2. And he realized that, I wish above all that you be in health and I'm sick. There's power of one scripture. I say that with it, there's power of one word is bigger than a bomb. It turns you on. The woman started reading, discovered that Jesus bore her infirmities, called the mother, said, mother, bring my clothes, it's time to walk. She was lying down. The mother said, no, take it easy, take it easy, take it easy. The doctor said, he said, no. Jesus said, he has taken my infirmity. The doctor said this, but Jesus has given me a new report right now. A new report right now. Oh, laga sataha. Lying on the bed, called the mother. The mother brought her clothes. Stood up from the bed, wore her clothes, started walking and saying, I am healed in Christ Jesus. I am healed in Christ Jesus. In 2 weeks, the woman was totally free. What happened? Something flashed her eyes. The eyes of her understanding was what? Open. Flooded with light. She got to know that, hey, Jesus took my sin and my sickness, and she was free. Jesus took your sin and your sickness. Let it be what? A reality to you. When we had our first program, we were having a healing, talking about healing, and said we are going to do healing and all of that. I remember. And I was studying this scripture, and the scripture turned me on. Said, when I enter this place, things will happen. That day was the day that there is this lady at Richard, Esther. That was when Esther came. And she said that she had migraine from birth or from childhood. She had been suffering migraine. I just laid my hand on her and said that, leave her. Jesus carried her infirmities. So why should he be carrying migraine? And from that time, 2011, she has been free till today. One scripture. One day my wife was sick. We weren't married at that time. And the brother carried her to the church. We had finished praying. We were having a prayer at that time. She came. She was sick. I said, sit down. She sat down. See, oh, hallelujah. The word of God is mape, is health. When you sit down and study, the word of God is drug. It's a prescription, drug. And I told her this thing. I started explaining Isaiah chapter 53. She was there. She was sitting down. I explained Isaiah 53 to her. How Jesus carried her sicknesses. And why she shouldn't be carried around. Because of a particular sickness. As I taught her for some minutes, about 30 minutes or so. Of her was there. 30 minutes or so. I laid hand on her. That was all. She went home and ate. And said, Prince laid hand on me. Now I'm free. From the time I caught this scripture, I've never anywhere slept on any hospital bed, and I will never do that. Why? Because Jesus has given me a prescription, a drug. The more I study the word, the more healthy I become. If Jesus has taken your infirmities, it must dawn on you. It's not something. It must dawn on you. That is the first one. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second one you should understand is that, I explained last week, that sickness is the spirit of infirmity now. And sickness is the work of the devil, not the work of God, in the body of a person. Jesus said that, I came to give life and to save people, not to destroy. And the Bible tells us he went about doing good and healing. Acts chapter 10 verse 38. Let's all open to Acts chapter 10 verse 38. So the first one is what? Jesus bore your infirmities. Second one is what? The spirit of infirmity. Acts 10:38. Who read it from the back? Someone should read it from the back. Acts 10:38. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 from the back quickly. With the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So the scripture says that he was doing what? Healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. They were what? Oppressed of the devil. So the Holy Ghost caused sickness. An oppression of the devil in the body of the person. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Go to Luke chapter 17 quickly. Holy Gadash Kebele Koshaya. Luke chapter 13, sorry, verse 16. Luke chapter 13, verse 16, quickly. Holy Dashadalama. Luke chapter 13, quickly, Obed.
Calvary, soon, no.
Luke chapter what?
Luke chapter 13, verse 16.
So
ought not this woman.
So ought not this woman.
Being a daughter of Abraham.
Being a daughter of Abraham.
Whom Satan has bound.
Whom Satan had bound.
Think of it.
Whom who?
Satan had bound.
See, the word of God. Look at someone. Tell the person that
the word of God
is God speaking to me. Say it again. Say,
the word of God
is God speaking to me. Whom Satan has bound. Continue, Obed.
Whom Satan has bound. Think of it. For 18 years. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath.
Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. Ought not this woman, whom Satan has done what? Has bound. So Jesus was going to lay hand on a sick person. He was going to heal a sick person. A woman who was bowed over. Couldn't walk straight. And people say, why will you do this on the Sabbath? It's time for rest. What is healing? Won't you rest more? And Jesus said, no. Ought not this woman, whom Satan has bound, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. So Satan had bound the woman with sickness. Then Jesus said, woman, thou art loosed from thy infirmity. And the woman was made whole. So Acts chapter 10 verse 38 tells us, Luke chapter 13 verse 6, you can start from verse 3, reading downwards to 6. Verse 16 tells us, the woman was bound and Jesus loosed her and let her go. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So they call it the spirit of infirmity at work in the body of people, destroying the organs of people. The third one, which is very important. Are you writing something down? How many of you are being blessed tonight? You are hearing things that you've never heard before. Some people have never heard that Jesus carried their sicknesses. Some have not heard that Jesus went to hell before, some Christians. They don't know that Jesus went to hell. Some Christians don't know. There are Christians who don't know that Jesus went to hell and defeated the devil in hell. They don't know. Because when you know that, all the devils in hell will begin to run away from you. Hearing and knowing are two different things. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, the third one is that Jesus is willing to heal anybody right now. The willingness of Jesus to heal anybody right now. See, it's very important to know these things, to know them. Jesus is willing to do what? Heal anybody of any sickness right now. Listen, there are a lot of Christians who think that, Jesus can heal. And there are even sick people who want to be healed. They believe that Jesus can heal. They believe. Jesus is not a magician. He's a miracle worker. Magicians just do anything. Miracle workers work miracles based on the word. Very important. But you see, listen. Jesus is willing. So if you are sick, Jesus is willing to heal you right now. It must be something that must be settled in your spirit, in your mind. People who are sick, you ask them, so when do you want Jesus to heal you? They say, Jesus, he can heal. I know. But as to when he will heal me, I can't tell. Oh, Lord Jesus. They say that Jesus can heal. You say, can Jesus heal you? You say, yeah. God is all powerful. God can heal me. Is God willing to heal you right now? They say that one there is up to God. Why? Because they are uncertain. But listen, Jesus is willing to heal any sick person right now. You have a relative that is sick. You go to the person and say, sister, Jesus is willing to heal you right now of that asthma. Say, how? You have heard something. What you have heard, you are putting it to work. Now listen. Jesus Christ, listen very carefully. Don't let Daisy distract you. Listen very carefully. Jesus is a savior, or is the savior and the healer at the same time. Jesus is the savior and the healer at the same time. It's very important. Why is Jesus willing to heal you right now? The proof that Jesus is willing to heal you right now is what he did 2,000 years ago. By bearing sin and sickness on the cross, he was proving to all who believe in him that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is willing to heal all the sick. The proof that Jesus is willing to heal the sick today and tonight and tomorrow and the next day is what he did on the cross 2,000 years ago. He did that to prove that he wants us to walk in health. And because of that, he was making a provision for all those who believe in him. How many of you understand that? So, Jesus did that to make a provision for us so that we wouldn't walk in sicknesses. And he did that to show us that anybody sick can be healed right now. You see, listen very carefully. Supposing your father is traveling. Your father is traveling. And you are not around, or you were not around when he was going. And he leaves his car keys and his car there. And he calls the security man and says, "Security man, you know what? When Obed comes, tell Obed, he leaves his word." Gives his word to the security man. When Obed comes, tell him that I've made provision for him. What provision? This car, transportation, this car. These are the keys. And then he leaves. When Kwedo comes, or when Obed comes in, and the security man tells him that when your father was going, if the security man doesn't say anything, then it, or if his father did not say anything, then it means that the car will be parked there and the keys too will be there. But the fact that the father told the security man to tell Obed that when Obed comes in, there is a provision there, a provision for his transportation, that is the car there and the keys there. If Obed comes into the house and the security gives the word to Obed, will Obed have doubts whether to move the car or not to move the car? I'm asking you a question. Do you hear what I said? So your father has left his car. He says, "Oh, security man, when Obed comes, tell him that I've left this one for him." That's a provision for Obed. And one, he has given a provision, or he has made available a provision. Two, he has given his word to the security man to tell you. The security man tells you. Will you have any uncertainty or doubt as to whether your father wants you to drive the car or not?
No.
So you know that your father is willing that you drive the car. That is what Jesus did. Or that is what God did through Christ Jesus. To prove his willingness for us to drive the car. To prove his willingness for us to walk in healings. If we need healing. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How many of you are here tonight? So, supposing I ask you right now, if I should ask you right now, for instance, does God want to save a sinner? Will you say no? Or he wants to save a sinner right now? There's a sinner here, God wants to save you right now. And I ask you, does God want to save a sinner right now? Or will God save a sinner right now? What will you say? No, no, this is your yes. He's looking for water. What will you say?
Yes,
he's willing to save such a person right now. Why do you have that confidence? Why? What will give you that confidence? See, I've got you now. What will give you that confidence? To give you that confidence. John chapter 3 verse 16 can give you that confidence. That for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes, so you know, oh, whosoever believes in Jesus can be saved now. That is the same way with healing. Psalm 103 says that, who forgives you all your iniquities? Verse 3. Psalm 103, verse 3. Are you looking into the scriptures? Who does what? Forgives you of all your iniquities. And healeth all your what? Your diseases. So the same person who is forgiving iniquities or forgiving sin is the same person who is doing what? Healing the diseases. The same way he wants to see you saved, that's the same way he wants to see you healthy and healed. How many of you understand what I'm saying? So he is willing. Say he is willing.
He is willing.
How many of you understand that? Now, on the other hand, Jesus, the first one is Jesus is willing to. On the other hand, the person who is receiving must be willing to receive. There is a response to the word of God. Oh. Shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many of you are following me here? It's as if people are not here. They are quiet, quiet. Why? You are soaking. The person who is doing what? Receiving must be what? Must be willing to receive. Jesus can save. Jesus will save. But if the sinner is not willing to be saved, he wouldn't be saved. So when you preach the gospel to somebody to be saved, or you preach the word to somebody to be saved, and the person says, oh, no, no, not now, not now. It means that the person is not willing to be saved. It means you can't force the person to be saved. How many of you are following me? You can't force the person to be saved. The person you preach to must be willing to be saved. So, on the other hand, the person who is sick must be willing to be healed. There is a willingness on the part of the person who is sick. What am I teaching you? I'm teaching you how to heal your own body of sickness. And I'm teaching you how to minister healing to other people who are around you. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, it's important that the person is willing to respond. There's a response to the word of God. There's a response. If the person is not willing to be healed, somebody says, but anybody who is sick wants to be healed. Yeah, everybody who is sick wants to be healed. Now, not everybody who is sick is willing to be healed. Because your willingness is your response to the word of God. Write it down. Your willingness to be healed is your response to the word of God and your response to the power of God. Your response to the word of God and your response to the power of God. How important. Oh, Jesus. And your response to the power of God. How do we know that? How do we know that? How do we know that? Why? Because there are people who say, oh, I want Jesus to heal me. I want Jesus to heal me. But at the same time, they are standing against the word of God. How are they standing against the word of God? Jesus wants to heal you. They say, oh, this sickness is in my family. You don't know. There are people like that. This sickness is in my family. Don't worry about all these things. To be fine. Don't worry. There are people who do that. There are people who say, oh, Jesus wants to heal. Say, oh, you don't know. This. The doctor said this sickness, there's nothing we can do about it. Once you are telling them Jesus wants to heal them, they are telling you what the doctor has told them. So there is an opposition. How do I know that? Your response to your willingness is your response to the word of God that you hear. Your willingness is your response to the word of God that you hear. Look at someone, tell the person,
your willingness
is your response to the word of God that you hear and to the power of the Holy Spirit. So one day, Naaman wanted to be healed. Went to Elisha. Elisha said, I don't even have to come out. Go and tell Naaman to go and wash himself 7 times in Jordan. Naaman said, me? Jordan? 7 times. He wanted to be healed. That is why he traveled all the way to Elisha. But he wasn't ready to respond to the word of God and to the anointing of the Spirit of God that was on Elisha. It's very important. You can have a service. Lay hand on everybody. Some will come with testimony. Some will go home. And after even you lay hand, they're going to say, oh, good afternoon. We'll meet next week. And I'll be teaching this in your response to the anointing. Very important. Naaman said, no. I have better reverse. You're talking about this one. He wasn't ready. But he was. He wanted to be healed, but he wasn't willing. Until they convinced him that go and do what the man of God has said, or it will happen. And then he did it. Imagine he did not do it, even though he wanted to be healed. Would he have been healed? No. The beautiful gate. This man was there for a long time. A long time. Crippled from birth, the Bible says. At the gate of beautiful, or the beautiful gate. Whatever they say. It's just the beautiful that is important. Hallelujah. Now, Peter and John met this man. The man was expecting money from them. They said, no, we don't have money to give you. No matter how much money we'll give you, you'll stay in this condition. But we have something bigger than money. Then they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's what they said. Did they add anything else? There was no gymnastics display. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. When they said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk, the man was still there. They held the man, lifted him up. They said, walk. The man started walking. Listen. Imagine the man has said that, I was born from birth this way. Don't you understand? And they held the hand. So they said, oh, he said, rise up and say, leave me, leave me. You, if you don't have money, go. Don't come and worry me. The man could have said that. How many of you know the man could have said that? If you don't have money, why are you all this? Leave me. You know how many years I've been here? Getting my money, you are coming to talk nonsense. So if they held him, say, oh, leave me, nothing would have happened. But when they held him and said, rise up and walk, even though he had not seen any healing before, nobody preached anything to him. When they said, rise up and walk, what did he do? He stood up. The Bible said he began to leap. Then his ankle bones received strength. When did his ankle bones receive strength? When he did what? He stood up. Your response to the word and to the power of God, that's what I'm talking about. Some people went to bring sick people to Peter. They said that so that the shadow of Peter passing by. It wasn't Peter who organized the healing thing. No. Doesn't Peter also said, bring the people who are sick? He didn't say that. But the people recognized something on Peter. They brought the sick. And they themselves said that we are putting you guys here. We know that if Peter passes by. Is that not powerful? Yes. Willingness to respond to the power. Some people think that once you go to a man of God, it is. No, it's not like that. It's principle. That is why it's important we teach you these things. We teach you these things so that you can respond to the power of God when it is released. Last week I was saying in the house that people come to a man of God, for instance. In a service. The man of God releases the anointing on them. Now, do you know what happens? After you've released the anointing on them, when we close, then they'll come to you. Then they come to the man of God and they say, you see, I have so and so problem. You see, people do it. Many Christians do it. Even here, it is done here. Because, and that's why I say I'll take time and teach you how to respond to these things. It's not just, no. They'll come and tell you the problem. But if you know what the anointing can do, then when the anointing is released, maybe you didn't even talk to the man of God. Say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. I'm carrying this anointing home. Why? Because there was a woman with the issue of blood. And the multitudes were all holding Jesus. They were touching him like this. They were touching him. They were thronging Jesus, the Bible says. Shaking him here and there, and Jesus was in their midst. He was walking like a king, majestically. But then there was this one woman in the midst of the multitudes. The scripture says that woman also touched Jesus. But that touch was different. Then Jesus stood and said, somebody has touched me. Then Peter said, ah, master, look at all these multitudes. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, look at all these multitudes. They are all following you. How do you tell us that somebody has touched you? They are all touching you. Jesus said, no, somebody has touched me. There were touches, but there was a touch. The person said that, what did the person say? The person said within herself, that if I may by touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. That was a different touch and attitude toward Jesus. All the people were just happy that they were working with Jesus. But the woman said, no, if I could touch this woman, this man, I will be healed. The woman touched Jesus, the hem of his garment. The woman was made whole. She responded to the anointing that was going. It means that when Jesus was going, there was so much anointing on Jesus. But all the people were also following the same Jesus. Is this not powerful? How many of you are listening to me? All of them were following the same Jesus. The anointing was on Jesus to do things. But the anointing did not do anything in their life. One day I was reading the scriptures. It says, and virtue went out of him. And all the people sought to touch him. I was asking, how did they know that virtue had gone out of him? The people who were there were sensitive. Virtue can go out of a man of God. And people, just stand in the queue, I'll lay hand on you. And there is no response from your spirit. You are just falling down and happy. Oh, I fell down, I'm going home. No. Because the anointing is not just released for releasing sake. It's released for purpose, sorry. For what? Purpose. It is, the yoke is destroyed by the anointing. So you have issues surrounding your life. A man of God releases anointing on you. You say, thank you, Holy Ghost. That's a response. I am free. From today, things are going to work out. That's a response. And the woman was made whole because she touched Jesus with a different touch. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
The last thing, some people brought some sick person inside. Opened up the roof, brought the man in. What did Jesus say? Your sins are forgiven you. He said, ah, who is this man to forgive sins? He says, ah, is it difficult for me to forgive sins? Then let me show you a bigger one. Rise up, take up your bed and walk. The man would have said, oh, Jesus. That's why I came here. Responding is very important. You want to be a great man of God, you must learn to respond to the anointing. You respond. You sense the anointing, you respond. You don't just sit down and say, oh, don't worry. The Holy Ghost, he will do it if he wants to do it. No. The man did not say, Jesus, that is why we came. No. He responded. Rise up. Take up your bed. Walk. The man stood up. He was standing. The people were amazed. Carried his bed. The people were amazed. He started walking and going home. Is that not powerful? Shall we please be upstanding? We are going to pray for the next 10 minutes. If you are sick in any part of your body, you are going to be healed now. The power of God is going to touch you. The power of God is going to fall here. Oh, lakasa talimatosa. Lift up your hands. The power of God is going to touch you here tonight. If you've been blessed tonight, shout a big hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Say, we have heard great things today.
We have heard great things today.
Now, listen very carefully. We are going to pray for the next 10 minutes. The power of God is going to fall here. You are sick in any part of your body, get ready to be healed. Your bones, your intestines, your organs are all going to be made whole by the power of the Holy Ghost. Next week, I'll continue this. I'll teach you two important things, the authority and the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Oh. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
This your praise God is looking for water. Hallelujah.
Praise
now
God.
I want us to pray in the Holy Spirit. You don't speak in tongues, you don't pray in the Holy Ghost. Just lift up your hands and worship the Lord as we pray. Oh Lakita Sitelepe. As we sing this song and we pray, I want you to respond. Respond. And the power of God is going to fall on you. And every part of your body is going to be made whole tonight. Because Jesus is willing to heal you tonight. Lift up your hands. Shada da 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 bahasa. Oh, Mona, Monteofo, Nina.